It's a great day for German football, Marcus. It's a great day for Dortmund and Bayern, but it's also a great day for Edin Terzic and Thomas Tuchel.
Hi and welcome to the German Fußball Podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Fjørtoft, and as always, joined by co-host Jan Fjørtoft. And a day of celebration, two evenings of celebration even, Dad, for German football, for the Farmers League. We got Borussia Dortmund, we got Bayern Munich in the Champions League semi-finals. This is a big happening for German football, and better yet, it's not even the two best teams in Germany that are in the Champions League semi-finals.
What a time to be alive, Marcus. I'm overdoing it a bit, of course, but I mean, even not like we love German football, but we also love English football. So it's an ambivalent. I think that's the word to it, because I would love to see Arsenal come far in the competition, as they did. And you saw also Manchester City kind of, they were hammering Real Madrid, to be honest. I mean, they were the better team. But again, Real Madrid through and penalties and everything. But I mean, the two German teams, it's unbelievable. And even you don't have to love German football. If you do your analysis on this Champions League, and you told us even 3 days ago, but you can see in the first game that Dortmund getting away with a 2-1 in Madrid, and Bayern, to be fair to them, had a good game of Emirates, at least if you compare it with what they've done in the league, done in the cup in Germany, it is a big, big surprise. So no English teams and two German teams. And as you were saying, not only the best teams in Germany, Leverkusen, we're recording this very early on Thursday morning, and later today, Bayer Leverkusen could do the same against West Ham, 2-0 up there. But it's a great day for German football, Marcus. It's a great day for Dortmund and Bayern. But it's also a great day for Edin Terzic and Thomas Tuchel, two coaches that has been under pressure in terms of not winning enough games, of course. But they're showing when the goings get tough, Terzic winning away at Bayern, remember, getting a result in Madrid, and then a 4-2 spectacle in Dortmund. And Thomas Tuchel just waiting to be thrown out of the club. And for the third time in his career, he was in the final with PSG. He won the Champions League with Chelsea, of course. And for the third time of his life, three different clubs put him in a semi-final. A great day. And you can just imagine the feeling that Thomas Tuchel will have this morning. Also, in terms of hello to the leaders of Bayern Munich. Maybe it was not his fault. Maybe it was partly his fault. I was with Stefan Freund on Servus TV in Austria last night. We were quarreling, very friendly, about the influence that Thomas Tuchel has had on this team.
Yeah, if you'd gone back January, February, and predicted that Tuchel and Terzic would be in the Champions League semi-final, I think you would, you'd earn a bit of money, I'd say. And as you allude to, it's two managers that have been under significant pressure, starting with the Bayern game yesterday. It was very clear the happiness that you could see on the Bayern team, on Tuchel, on the Bayern fans. There was the picture in the locker room after, with Tuchel in the center of it, and it was very much a Bayern team rejuvenated. And looking back at those two games, not only is it rather well deserved, I mean, the margin for error was rather minimal, when it hurts as an Arsenal fan to see that. But even still, it was back to a Bayern performance, one of the stronger ones, but one that seemed to fit them better, in which they were defensively compact, they were good off the counter, they played with energy, they played on the front foot, as opposed to in the Bundesliga, where they've been very much open, they looked vulnerable. It was two different versions of a Bayern team coming out. How did you see the Bayern team that came out in these two games, but also the impact that Tuchel will have on Bayern in European games with his experience in mind?
Well, it speaks for Bayern, it speaks for Thomas Tuchel, that the two games against Arsenal, maybe one of the two best games we've done this season. That speaks for him. As for the first game, there was a... Or the whole Arsenal-Bayern kind of thing was all about a team that hasn't been in the Champions League for a while, a lot of players who haven't been in the Champions League for a while, against a Bayern team. I mean, with Neuer, with Müller, with Kimmich, with Goretzka, there's so much experience. And Harry Kane, not maybe in the Champions League, but still a very experienced international player. So you could see that over the two games, that was an advantage for Bayern. But also, I must say, especially yesterday, first half, it was like a chess of games. There was like, I think one of the key tactically to this game was how Thomas Tuchel set up his left side with Davies without suspended. He has Masrai in and Guerreiro. So they kind of took Martin, they took Xhaka somehow out of the game. I mean, they are going on both sides, but they took kind of that side out, if you know what I'm saying, Marcus. That was not the Saka. That was not the Martin Ødegaard we like to love when they are the creative kind of part of the game. Also, this small thing that he put the Austrian Konrad Leimer, Tony, as they call him here, on Martin. He was always close to him, kind of stopping that kind of engine in Arsenal. That was very good. It was also funny when we take the game that Harry Kane was quite quiet yesterday. He wasn't a lot in the game, but still they managed through a midfield. I think it was a midfield battle yesterday with Leimer, with Goretzka. I think Goretzka was good. You always had Musiala will take the ball. He would go with the ball, keep the ball in the team. So first off, very like two boxers. I use chess, but I could also use boxers. They're kind of feeling each other. Where are we? How much do we have to lose? And I will just say, Marcus, before we won't do a lot of Arsenal here, but I see a lot of analysis, even in, when you go to bed, you will sit there, watch through what else other pundits say. Don't take Arsenal completely down. Arsenal can, on Saturday evening, be top of the league in the Premier League again. They could have won this game. They could have gone through. Yes, they lost against Aston Villa. They were still good in the first half. So I'm not saying this is down to Arsenal, but it's also fair to say that Arsenal doesn't look so spritzig with that is the German word for energy, engagement, as we've seen at their best this season. That is also fair to say. But a big respect to Bayern, who I would say over the two games, getting a 2-2 at Emirates and then winning here, deservedly, not like with a major thing saying they deserved it, but I would say that it's okay when you see the two games that Bayern knocked Arsenal out.
Yeah, I don't think you could. You need to gain that experience, and the European experience was evident. You have those key players. Joshua Kimmich was rewarded with UEFA Player of the Game, and in many ways experienced a rejuvenation sorts at right back, where arguably maybe that is his strongest position. And then you bring a Konrad Leimer, who was brought in from RB Leipzig, into the midfield where he played as well. Those little things, I think, make a difference. And against Real Madrid, I think it's an open-end tie for them. And continues Bayern's season. Without it, Bayern would have been in oblivion and Tuchel's reign would have come to a very underwhelming end. As for Dortmund, Dad...
I'm just saying, Marcus, I will end the Bayern thing because you alluded to it, if that's the English word for Real Madrid. I think it's an advantage for Bayern Munich that they get Real Madrid. I can't believe I'm saying that sentence, but I saw also the game Manchester City and Real Madrid. I mean, they were so dominant, City. Real Madrid did more or less the same as Arsenal did when they went to Etihad. I'm not saying that it's not deserved that they go through, because in that DNA, what they do have with a Bellingham running for his life, not his best game, but he's always with his attitude, and Vinny Jr. now going to play Joshua Kimmich. I mean, there could be warning signals and red flags and everything in and around Munich. But I still think, Marcus, that Manchester City would have been harder to play for Bayern, because I think that that doesn't suit them as well as Real Madrid. That will be an open battle. You know, I would say that Bayern, that Real Madrid would be a slight favorite based on what they've done. Better form in La Liga than Bayern in the Bundesliga, but still think, wow, Bayern against Real Madrid, there is something to that game, and we're so looking forward to semis.
Yeah, it's a vintage Champions League matchup we look forward to seeing. Not as much vintage, perhaps, but we have Dortmund against PSG in the semi-finals, and Dortmund with a, I mean, it was a performance of old. It was a Klopp-esque sort of performance at the Westfalenstadion, we'll call it Westfalenstadion, in which Dortmund played with an energy and an emotion that we tended to associate Dortmund with, especially under Klopp's reign, especially on those European nights where through sheer force of will, through quality as well, but also that emotion that Dortmund played with at home sort of was a force of nature in which teams would be overwhelmed in as such. And Dortmund 2-1 down from that first tie in Madrid. Luckily so, perhaps, especially that first half or first half an hour against Atletico Madrid away. But at home there, it was just a different team. And just for context, Dortmund, Terzic have been under criticism because they've been over-reliant on individual players. It's been a sort of gradual, not perhaps decline, but it's just been a gradual shift towards something else in which you've had Haaland, you've had Bellingham, you've had Sancho, and the individual has surpassed the collective. But Dortmund in the Champions League this season, very much different from their Bundesliga performances, have shown a collectiveness, a maturity to them. But even still, business-like, pragmatic, they found a way to win pragmatically. So this, on their head, I'm ending where I started, was a throwback by Borussia Dortmund performance, which is lovely for any neutral to see. 4-2 through to the semifinals. What can we say?
We can say that, just to add to what you're saying, they had a fantastic run. Remember, I mean, Newcastle must be happy today. PSG in the semi-final, Dortmund in the semi-final. They were both in the same in the same group, and they've come so far. There are some facts here. Dortmund are struggling to be top four in the Bundesliga, and they're top four in the world because Champions League is the world, because that is the best league. And what a game. I mean, the game was everything you asked for. They are 2-0 up at home. It's Laola, it's the Yellow Wall, it's a Westfalenstadion, Signal Iduna Park, like a cathedral, just boom, 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 boom. And then Atletico Madrid, with their will, with Diego Simeone coming back to 2-2. And then they still not only take them into extra time, they're actually winning the game 4-2. It's just what Dortmund, like you said, is vintage. There's a lot of things. And another fact is that when they won in 97, we're buying 97, we're talking Andy Müller, we're talking Lars Ricken, we're talking Karl-Heinz Riedler. They won the Champions League, and the top four team in Germany was Bayern, Bayer, Stuttgart and Dortmund. There are so many things to show to them. And also 2013, the final in the Champions League was Dortmund against Bayern at Wembley. I mean, and now they're playing in the semi-finals against PSG. There are so many things to say about that. But the game, two players I will mention. As I'm recording this from Austria, I will start with Marcel Sabitzer. When Sabitzer played for Leipzig, I thought he had the potential to be one of the best in the world. There was some, and I'm not overstating that. He was fantastic. He had an energy. He had a thing going forward. He always wanted a ball. He had a great shot. He got a good, a lot of assists, a lot of goals. And then he was like gone for a while. He's been around. He was at Bayern, of course, then on a loan to Manchester United. He had some good games. But wow, was he back to his best on Tuesday. Not only a good goal, but the assist for Füllkrug. I mean, talking about vintage, that was an old-fashioned thing at the left side. Sabitzer just doing the statistically cross. I like that word, if that is a word, because He just puts the ball in the area and expect the striker to end up there. That's what you like as a striker. And wow, Fullkrug then on the first post, great old-fashioned goal from Fullkrug. And then Sabitzer got an ability that not a lot of players have, Marcus. When he shoots, he doesn't need so much space around him to get a good shot. He's just in there. He got people around him, and he managed still to get a great shot as he did for his goal. And the second one, I will take forward. I mean, we could say Hummels, the pass for the goal there with his outside, with his trademark outside pass. And to be fair to Hummels, he's got a decent season. But I have to put Julian Brandt. We kind of always write him off, and we say, "Oh, he's too weak. He's a bit too soft for this." And then out of nothing, somehow, I saw UEFA made him man of the match. I mean, good competition, I guess with Sabitzer. But he just turns up and being so involved in everything. So a fantastic night at Dortmund, and how they celebrated with the yellow wall. Wow, that was memory lane in Dortmund.
And now with PSG in the semi-finals, they will, thankfully, due to the German team's performance in Europe, it looks increasingly likely that they will get the fifth spot in the Champions League. But how do you deem Dortmund's chances against PSG? How do you think that will suit them or not suit them?
Then I will answer the same way as Chelsea would have said. Well, first, now we play Leverkusen at home this weekend.
Because which will be a great game.
Fantastic game. We look forward to that. But it's also it's so important for them to be top four. There's another theory, Marcus, because we're talking a lot about this fifth position, that there could be five teams from Germany in the Champions League. I can add that up. If Dortmund win the Champions League and are fifth in the league, the sixth position will get a Champions League position. So Eintracht Frankfurt playing tomorrow against Augsburg, about the sixth position final at home in Frankfurt. Come on, you Frankfurt. I would say that game is very open, Marcus. That is based on the form that Edin Terzic and Dortmund have managed to create in the Champions League. Because, you know, PSG is entweder oder. It's all or nothing for them. You saw the home game, not throwing it away, but losing at home. You think they're gone, and then they go to Barcelona. Yes, there were discussions about decisions, but I think Xavi a bit overdid that reaction to it. PSG, with so many individuals, and any team with Mbappé in the team, I mean, wow. That's also going to be a fantastic final. Mats Hummels against Mbappé. I mean, we are talking about Speedy Gonzalez against a very slow defender, but a very intelligent defender, because we could have a go at Hummels about his speed. We could say that he is not the best defender in the world, but wow, has he managed in his career to kind of hide those weaknesses and still being there. And that is so many duels in that game. Dembele who looks like a great player. I mean, we've waited for him for a long time, but now he excites me to see. So that's going to be a fantastic game. Do I think that there will be two teams from the so-called Farmers League in the final? No, I don't. But I still didn't think that those results in the quarterfinal happened as well. So it wouldn't be like the biggest surprise in the world if the two German teams come true, and then we are back 11 years later, back in Wembley, and we will look forward to two great Champions League semi-finals.
And just lastly, in terms of Edin Terzic's job, we did state at the beginning of this month in our previous episode that it would be a big month for Terzic, both in the league in terms of establishing that top four position, but also in the Champions League. He's now gotten through arguably the toughest hurdle, which was the Champions League quarterfinal. Is it a case of which Terzic, I dare say, saved his job for next season, you think?
And he's also saved maybe Dortmund's place in the Champions League, because if you have a look at the ranking now, remember, a quick explainer, as Rory will say at Rest Is Politics, a quick explainer, Italy, England and Germany are fighting out to get that fifth position in the Champions League. So we could say Dortmund could have saved their own place if they end up the fifth in the Bundesliga. I think that there are two jobs up for grabs at Dortmund. It's Edin Terzic. I think he's saved himself now. I think that those kind of performance in the Champions League, I mean, wow, you get some credit for that. And also Sebastian Kehl, because remember, Watzke is going to end his time at Dortmund. So the big job, the Sportvorstand, the CEO of sports, so to say, is up for grab. So Sebastian Kehl can go in there. You can get another sporting director. Remember Sebastian Kehl with Diego Simeone, these photos from Madrid show that he's a leader. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that there won't be a lot of changes in Dortmund, because nights like this is just unbelievable. That create history, that create a common history for fans. And Edin Terzic, you know, he may have his weaknesses, but he is through and through a yellow-black Dortmund fan. So I think that has saved himself. Just at the end, Marcus, we thank for everybody listening. This project that we too have done here at YouTube and at podcast, we're adding more and more subscribers, which is great for us. It's also it's a great basis for us, a base for us to have when we do create this. And we both love to do this. So I will just hope that everybody listening who hasn't subscribed on YouTube, please do that. And also on the podcast, that they subscribe to the podcast. And also thanks for all your feedback that we're getting on our YouTube channel. We try to answer them. And also the information you give us, that is very much appreciated. I always use my social media to learn from people, to listen to people, what they do say. So that will be the end of my end advice and hope and pray to our listeners and viewers.
Yeah, we appeal to your goodwill. No, but it is genuinely appreciated. I know you also have a flight to catch, that. So I appreciate the time in the morning as we celebrate a lovely week for the Bundesliga. We got some great games coming up with Leverkusen and Dortmund. Dortmund against Leverkusen, sorry. And before we end, yes?
No, I'm just saying that if we said that England will have no teams in the semi-final, we would say no chance. And if we said Germany would have two teams in the semi-final, we would say no chance. But easy, we will also say that if of three Norwegians, we are Norwegians, Marcus, Martin Ødegaard is out of the Champions League, Erling Haaland is out of the Champions League, and Julian Ryerson, right back for Dortmund, he's still in there. And I always say, when we talk about him, Marcus, big, big compliment to him, because he's done his job, great attitude, very much liked and appreciated in Dortmund. So my player of the week, yes, there was a lot of available players around, but player of the week for me is Julian Ryerson, who is kind of slowly but quiet, played his position at Dortmund, and is now at the semi-final of the Champions League. Not bad at all, Julian.
Not bad at all. And with that, Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen.